absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tverkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente interkulturell.
Absolutely intercultural.
Welcome to show 304 of Absolutely Intercultural. My name's Anne Fox, and this show is coming to you from Denmark. And we're going to be talking about responsible technology. That may sound a bit vague, so I'll share a few more hints about where we're going. This is about an initiative by and for young people. We'll be talking to the president of Fidutam, a small but global civil society organization, which started by using secure tech to enable microloans to young people. But there's more. They have also developed technology to enable anyone, but especially young people, to be able to learn almost anything using generative AI tools for free, a sort of study buddy, if you like.
Because we had some groups in sub-Saharan Africa and some groups in America. So the American groups, they usually learned about climate change and these big world problems like AI and whatnot. And whereas our sub-Saharan African group, they learned more about mathematics and more basic forms of things in their school curriculum.
And there's more. Fidutam have also worked out how to influence policymakers and have contributed to consultations in the USA and Europe. To me, this is an intriguing mix of activities for a global organization that is focused on and run by young people. But why bother with the politicians?
So we have come in contact with different congressional offices and talking with them about their AI bills and thinking about whether Fidutam stands for that. So ultimately, we go through their bill and ask ourselves, most importantly of all, is it advocating for more responsible technology? If the answer is yes, we support the bill.
So let's get started talking to Ronit Batra, the president of Fidutam in Oslo, Norway, and go absolutely AI.
Yes. So, hi, my name is Ronit. I'm currently a high schooler here in Oslo, Norway, and now I'm the president of Fidutam. So Fidutam is a civil society that has more than 1,600 members all across the globe. And our goal is to build, regulate, and advocate for responsible technology.
What is responsible technology? Can you give me some examples of what Fidutam has done?
The way we see things is that technology is a tool that can be used either for the good or for the bad. And this is a very black and white way of thinking about this, but it helps to decide on what sort of way you want technology to lead. Because technology currently, it can either increase the divides that we have in society today, or it can help shorten them. So the way we view responsible technology, we see it as a way to shorten the divides between different subgroups within society. So some concrete examples, one could be the EdTech app we have. So the EdTech app we have is Maestro. And the thing about Maestro is that it's just not another educational platform. It's a way to actually engage with the content you would like to learn. So with Maestro, users can simply enter the topic they want to learn about or choose from a curated list of suggestions. And whether you're a quick learner, you can choose a more balanced approach, or if you want to delve more deeply into a subject, you can choose a more deep option. And basically all Maestro does is that it, within seconds, generates a comprehensive course consisting of video lectures and practice problems from YouTube and from other sources like Khan Academy. And this helps the user to understand this is the course layout and I can progress through the course by watching these videos and practicing these problems.
So are you saying that I could choose any topic to learn about, or is it focused on certain topics?
No, you can learn about any topic at all, because we had some groups in sub-Saharan Africa and some groups in America. So the American groups, they usually learned about climate change and these big world problems like AI and whatnot. And whereas our sub-Saharan African group, they learned more about mathematics and more basic forms of things in their school curriculum. So it's totally up to you. I mean, of course, it would depend upon the subgroup you're in and what you're interested in personally, but you can, of course, research about any topic you would like.
And how could I, if I asked your app to build me such a course and I did it, how could I show the world that I had done this studying?
Yeah, so the way you could show this world, I mean, we don't really have any sort of mechanism in the app to prove you have done the course, but rather it's up to the individual themselves. So what we want to be is a tool for the individual to be, hey, I want to learn more about climate change. So they would go into our tool, Maestro, and then they would be, I want to learn about climate change. I want to learn at this difficulty level or at this deep level. So let's say I want to learn about climate change in a balanced level. And so then within seconds, Maestro would come up with a list of topics that you would need to go through to learn about climate change in a balanced manner. And it will give you video materials and practice problems. And then you can go through each sort of content of climate change and go through them step by step to gain a comprehensive understanding of what climate change is.
Now, you mentioned that there were teams in sub-Saharan locations, and I'm wondering how does your app make the learning accessible, for example, regarding languages and cultures?
Yes. So one thing our app really helps out with is the language barrier. I mean, one of the things that AI really helps in when it comes to reaching to people across cultures is by eliminating the language barrier. And since we use GPT-4 credits from OpenAI, we're able to translate different topics, which makes the language barrier extremely easy to cross down. Another thing is, since we're digital as well, the sort of geographical barrier that gets taken away as well. And another thing is, since the app is completely free and available to any person across the globe, the financial barrier is taken down as well. And the financial barrier is probably the most important one, because that is what we mean by re responsible technology, because we want it to be open to everyone. So it shouldn't matter how many numbers you have in your bank account, frankly. And you should be able to access all these educational tools to further your own education. So by eliminating the language barrier, eliminating the geographical barrier, and eliminating the financial barrier, we open it to people from different cultures.
Okay, so you've convinced me that it's accessible. Now I'm wondering, a lot of video courses, they emphasize just memorizing facts. And I'm wondering, how do you use AI to make the learning somewhat deeper and promote understanding rather than just presenting fact after fact after fact on, say, climate change?
Yeah, so one thing is that we already utilize existing content available on the internet, because most of these internet courses, for example, they will try to create content from scratch, and this often leads to less understanding or less content because they have to create everything from scratch. But since we already utilize the already existing content on the internet, we're able to use the best of the best, frankly, the best content, the best videos that show comprehensive knowledge, videos that have proven to educate students on climate change in an effective manner. So we use the best content already available rather than starting from scratch. So this makes sure that the students or the users are provided with the best content available, so then they can delve deeper into it. And another aspect of using AI when it comes to promoting a deeper learning is the continuous feedback that you would get. So, for example, let's say I want to learn about climate change, and there's this one thing I don't really understand. Let's say it's carbon taxing. I don't really understand the concept. So I can go to the AI, be like, hey, Maestro, I don't understand carbon taxing. Can you explain it for me? And so Maestro will come back, it will explain to you carbon taxing is XYZ. And then you could be like, oh, I don't really understand what you mean by X. And then you can keep on going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, till you reach a comprehensive understanding. But with traditional online courses, you don't have the opportunity for this one-on-one feedback and this continuous feedback loop.
So it's like having a study buddy.
Yeah, in a sense, like having some sort of tutor that you can rely on, and yeah, essentially.
Okay, and you talked also about problem solving as part of the courses. How does that work?
So after different videos, you would have a maestro coming up with different questions that you can perhaps answer. And so the way we do it is to have these problems exist upon the videos you have already watched. So maestro presents you with 3 to 4 YouTube videos from different channels, and after that there will come 2 or 3 practice problems, and we have designed it such a way that these problems are based upon the YouTube videos that you have watched. So it continuously checks upon your learning and makes sure that what you're watching, you're actually able to use that in a problem setting.
And is that available now, or is this something in the future?
Yes, so we had a maestro, so we had it in its beta form, and that's when we launched in Sub-Saharan Africa and some parts of the US just to get some beta information. And there we reached out to 2,400 students, and then we officially launched it as well. And then it was all across the globe. We reached like 5,400 students in total. However, since then, we have ran out of OpenAI credits, so we're still working on getting OpenAI credits for 2025. So once we get them, Maestro will be back online. But as for now, it is offline because we don't have the credits available yet.
Ah, okay, that explains a lot. So I noticed that Fidutam is targeting young people. It's not just in learning, but you also started, I think, with microloans and that sort of thing. And you're targeting young people. So can you tell me what the thinking is behind that?
So the way we see things is that when you have technologies like AI, the decisions we make today, they will impact the future generations. And that is why it is of the utmost importance that the young generation today, those that will be impacted by the policies made today in the future, they should have some level of say in how these technologies get regulated, because ultimately we have the biggest stake here. That's why we see why we should involve the youth, because they're the ones who will be the most impacted by it. And that's why we think it's more democratic, you could say, to have the youth play a part in regulating technology, building technology, and advocating for more responsible technology.
Okay, that makes sense. And I noticed that in the information that I found about Fidutam online, that you lay great emphasis on contact with policymakers. You mentioned especially American policymakers. I'm wondering, is that also with European policymakers? Because the EU has just come out with a major AI policy document or a status document. What is the mechanism by which you get an audience with policymakers and what happens as a result?
That's a very good question. So when it comes to influencing the state of technology today, and particularly when you're looking at it from a lens of regulating it, it's of the utmost importance to get in contact with politicians, because ultimately they have the most say when it comes to the legal status of technology and how technology is being regulated and whatnot. So we recognize just how important the politicians play in this role. So that's why we have made it like a clear objective of our organization, FIDUTAM, to reach out to these politicians and effectively use them when it comes to furthering our goal of advocating for more responsible technology. So up till now, we have endorsed around 20 US bills. So we have come in contact with different congressional offices and talking with them about their AI bills and thinking about whether FIDUTAM stands for that. So ultimately, we go through their bill and ask ourselves, most importantly of all, is it advocating for more responsible technology? If the answer is yes, we support the bill. And of course, it's more nuanced than that, but the central goal is to just see whether it advocates for more responsible technology. So once we see that, then we sign these bills and support these bills in order to further the bill's potential impact. But if you move outside the US, we also had, as you said, we also had interactions with the EU. So the EU AI Act that you mentioned, prior to it being like published and prior to it being accepted in the EU Council, we actually got a request from the EU to write a letter on it to voice our opinions and to give our suggestions. So in this letter, what we basically did is that we went through their draft of the EU AI Act. We pinpointed out these are the issues that we would disagree with. These are the issues that we think could be further explained or elaborated. And essentially, we went through the letter and gave the EU back the letter. And of course, we don't know if our letter had any impact at all or if not, but it was definitely a way for us as an organization to voice our opinions to EU, and we're very grateful for EU to actually provide us an opportunity to do so as well.
That sounds like a very integrated approach. So on the one hand, you're working on the technology at a very advanced level, and on the other, you are engaging with policymakers. That seems to me a very integrated approach. Can I end by asking you, are you optimistic that responsible technology will win out?
That's a very difficult question to take at the moment because to be very honest with you, things are looking very bleak. You have tons of new language learning models coming out. OpenAI just recently announced their O3 model, which is significantly more capable than anyone had expected. And the problem with it is that most people just simply aren't aware. I talk to my friends, I talk to my different people surrounding in my life, and people don't really seem to be that aware of what's happening in the technology field. All that they know about is ChatGPT and these TikTok algorithms, but AI is so much more than that, and AI will be so much more than that. And this lack of awareness sort of hinders the political change we can make, because if the people aren't aware of just how fast technology is developing, then they won't pressure the politicians to really regulate it. So things are looking a bit bleak at the moment, but that's why organizations like FuturTime and different AI youth organizations, we are present because we realize the circumstances we find ourselves in today aren't the best, but we should really, really try to do our best. I mean, like when it comes to informing the public, but also informing the politicians and really aiming for a better change. I can't decidedly say whether responsible technology will win at the end, but we here at FuturTime will definitely try our best to make sure it does.
And just so you know, we recorded this in December 2024. So the AI and political landscape may have changed a great deal by the time you're listening to this. Maestro, the learning tool, should be up and running now that we're in 2025. So you could try it out for yourself. If you do, let us know how it went. I'm really amazed at the influence FuturTime seemed to have built up with the politicians. What about you? What do you think the politicians should be doing to ensure AI develops in a good way over your lifetime? Thanks for listening, and if you have a story to tell, then don't hesitate to get in touch or leave a comment on our page at absolutely-intercultural.com. We're also on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, where you can give us a rating. And if you enjoyed the show, please like us on Facebook too. Our next show will be coming to you from Laurent Borgmann in Germany on April the 4th. Until then, stay tuned.
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständigt tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.